Richard Dreyfuss, Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, and Bruce the Shark, those old enough to see Jaws on its first run in 1975, will recall audiences cringing, screaming, maybe ducking for cover when the shark was attacking innocent beachgoers on Amity Island or menacing Chief Brody, Hooper, and Quint on that rickety wooden fishing boat.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Michael Mindel is director of cinema and screen studies at Radford University.
A truly event film, something that really was kind of marketed as here's the big thing, and really kind of bringing in all these different elements that we think of as the blockbuster. You get that with Jaws, and that's definitely going to rely a lot on that kind of spectacle. And of course, in a film like Jaws, that spectacle is going to be that kind of that horror, that anticipation, the blood, the sex.
Jaws was the first blockbuster for director Steven Spielberg, and one of many collaborations with John Williams, who wrote the famous Jaws score, the thumping theme still used in ballparks and arenas, even today, for example. Mindel says right from the opening credits, with those late-night swimmers on the beach, Jaws set a tone for the next few hours.
Just kind of swinging around, and then, we just get this moment of then the attack and her being thrown around. And this is the very beginning of the entire film, and that sets that stage.
In addition to being just plain scary for many, it changed the movie studio mindset about when to release films that might have legs.
When are people free? When can we get the most people either at the theater or in the drive-in? You start making use of these times of the year, and so definitely summer initially, where they're looking at like, hey, let's get the time when all the kids are out of school.
And about that scene where Chief Brody is shoveling baitfish, chumming, into the ocean, attracting the great white shark that appears to be after them.
One of the great things about that moment is that, we've been training the audience up until roughly that point that, hey, you're going to hear this theme, we're going to get a shark attack. Well, guess what we don't get right before that moment? We don't get the theme. And so they're relying on kind of training the audience and then playing around with their expectations. And then sometimes, definitely through most of the film, you reward them like, yeah, you heard the theme, here's what you expect. Here's what you get. But then we're going to be like, oh, well, you don't hear the theme, so nothing's really going to happen. Oh, wait, guess what? Here's this great moment of Bruce coming out of the water.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Here's a shark who eats people. What's going to happen, right? And again, that used to be this part of the more exploitation films, but here we have that kind of high concept, straightforward plot point, but so much added to it.
50 years ago, Mindel says Jaws, based on Peter Benchley's best-selling novel, helped bring about a reset in Hollywood as to what movies were released during the summer and how.
If you release it all at once, as many screens as possible, even if it's a bad film, you still get a lot of people going to see it all at once, and so you're kind of getting that money in right away, and you're kind of hedging your bet.
That's a 20-footer.
25.
50 years later, as it reappears in local theaters and on television, Jaws and Bruce the Shark are still making viewers flinch. For WFIR News in Depth, I'm Gene Marino.